Jeff and Eric are best friends, as only two film critics could be. They bonded over movies and the Portland rain. It's the kind of romance only seen on TV. Then one day Jeff had to move away to far off San Diego, where it's sunny every day. Eric had to cry, he said, why, oh why? We have to find a way to make sure our friendship doesn't die. We'll have a long-distance relationship, the kind you see on TV, so you know it's legit. We'll watch our movies alone, and then we'll meet online. Record ourselves a podcast, and everything will be fine. Now we have Movie BS with Eric D. Snyder and Jeff Mayer. It's Movie BS. These critics are best friends forever.
Hello, welcome to Movie BS with Mayer and Snyder, brought to you by oneofus.net. I'm your host, Eric D. Snyder, here with my sidekick, Jeff Mayer.
I'm not a sidekick. I'm a host. I'm a host of this show, in fact. I am Jeff Baer. That is my sidekick, Eric D. Snyder. Hello. Welcome, one and all, to another rousing edition of Movie BS.
And it's a very – we have many special things to talk about today.
We do.
Regarding the show. First of all, this is – it's episode 255. Everyone knows that. Oh, sure, episode 255. You know what it also is, today's show? It is our fifth anniversary.
You know what? I do know this because you told me it.
That's true. Our very first show was April 2nd, 2010. And we were on – we did it live. We were on a Portland internet radio thing called PDX.fm, later changed to Cascadia.fm, later changed to not existing.
Or being sold into parts.
Sold or something. We don't know what happened to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we actually went to a studio and we were live and – oh, you remember those days, don't you?
I barely remember those days. They, I think of them fondly. Actually, you know what's really nice? I know this isn't technically a job, but it doesn't feel like 5 years in a good way.
No, I know it. Yeah, it's, I'm surprised that 5 years have passed. And
I'm surprised we've done this so often for so many years.
I'm surprised that we haven't gotten tired of it. And that no one has made us stop. Well, no one would make us stop. You don't have to be licensed to do a podcast, I guess. I was listening. I think for fun, all of our shows are online, by the way, moviebs.com. You can go back and listen to the whole back catalog. For fun, I'm going to put like the first couple of minutes worth of the first show at the end of this show. So if you want to, if people want to listen to that.
You know what else wasn't around 5 years ago?
Huh?
Let's see if he's still talking. Hang on. Well, of course. that is Dylan in his crib, not ready to go to sleep yet. So he's just talking to himself, sometimes talking to the animals.
That's cute.
As he does. But yeah, that's
and sometimes just it. Sometimes he talks to the ghosts that only he can see.
Oh man, if only that was true. I had my fingers crossed. It doesn't seem like he's a seer.
You were hoping for a haunted kid?
Yeah.
Well, better luck next time.
Just the chance to believe in that whole thing. Sure. Who wouldn't want that?
Sure. Fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, we should tell you.
What else
also,
should we tell you?
Keep in mind, whenever we're talking about anything on the show today, we are recording this on Wednesday. What is today? What's the date?
April 1st.
It's Wednesday. April 1st. So you should just keep that in mind in anything that we talk about on the show today.
Are you planning to tell some lies?
What? No, I'm just saying like it's like a behind the scenes. Like,
do the show a day or two early. Like, why is that new?
I'm just saying.
All right. I don't trust you. You're up to something.
Oh, hey, I have a big announcement.
No, see, now you've done it. See, now they're not going to believe you. Doesn't count because when they hear the show, it is not April Fool's Day. It doesn't matter that we're recording it on April Fool's Day.
No, I'm just letting them know.
It doesn't matter.
Totally doesn't matter. Like,
right, so why are you letting them know?
Like, here's the thing. Here, I'll tell them something else that doesn't matter. Right now, I'm Commando. And it's because I forgot to bring my underwear to the gym, and that's where I shower. So then it's just like, I'm just wearing shorts today.
Okay.
Doesn't and matter.
No, it doesn't matter. But right. No, but that fact does not obscure other facts.
Which, what do you mean?
Which mentioning that it's April Fool's Day might tend to do.
I don't know. All
Again,
I'm saying
it is not April Fool's Day. It is April 3rd, and maybe I'm after just that saying, when people hear this.
I'm just saying I have a big announcement.
What? Tell us your big announcement. And this is real. This is not April Fool's Day.
Right.
Tainted it. You've tainted it now with that.
What do you mean? It's a big announcement.
Right.
I don't understand.
That you're making on today, April 3rd.
Yeah. Well, I mean, today's actually it's
no
April
today
1st
when people hear it. You understand how this works, right? People can't hear us right now. They'll hear us on the 3rd at the soonest.
We used to be live.
Used to do it live. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. So, what is your big announcement?
My big announcement is, we don't know exactly when, but definitely by January 1st, 2016. My family will make a triumphant return to Portland.
Hooray! The Bears are coming back home. To Portland.
We're coming home. It's quite the surprise.
To me. You told me.
Right. You.
I already knew this. I've been excited to be able to tell people this for a while.
I know. It is one of those things that I feel weird talking about it right now. Like, am I supposed to talk about it?
Because it's been a secret for so long. Yeah.
It's been a secret for so long because it's been a work in progress. Because
you wanted to wait. You wanted to wait until the papers were signed and it was all 100% official and done deal.
That is totally true.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily because I thought I could somehow mess things up, but it's
don't underestimate yourself.
Right. In general, I always think maybe I can mess this up.
Sure
so I just
could.
Really didn't want to, so I kept it a secret as best I could, even though like at Sundance this year, I was like, hey, guess what?
You drunkenly were about to just announce it to everyone.
Yeah. And you were like, no, it's not a good idea. And I was like, oh, I don't think you're right, but okay, I'll listen to you, Mr. Sober. Okay. So what happened was my wife really enjoys her job here in San Diego.
Sure. And San Diego's a fine place to live.
It's a really great place. I would say this. We've really liked San Diego. But when we were in Portland, it felt – we were in Portland for 6 years, it ended up being – and it felt utterly and completely like home. Even though we didn't have any family there, we also don't have any family in San Diego. Our friends definitely became
– And that's what makes it so nice.
Yeah. that is one of the benefits. You're right.
But you guys, even though you enjoyed San Diego, you always kind of wanted to come back to Portland at some point. You kind of had that as a long-term goal. We'd like to come back to Portland.
We assumed that it would be possible, but we also assumed because specifically of her job that was probably like 8 to 10 years away kind of thing.
Sure.
Like that was on the back burner. We would be, you know, eventually trying to figure out how to afford a house in this market and all that sort of stuff here in San Diego. Mm-hmm. But her old job came a calling and wooed her. She was wooed.
She was wooed back to Portland.
There was some surprising movement, and we were more than happy to look into it. And it was a good fit for her. And I kept saying yes. And there we go.
Well, It's a dream come true because you guys left July 1st was your arrival date in San Diego.
it hasn't
even been a year yet.
I know it's so weird to already now start thinking and like barely planning the return because it's still a long time away. It'll be the winter sometime that we'll be doing it, but we know it's happening now.
Yeah. It won't be very winter if it's going to be by January 1st.
Well, yes, true.
I mean, yeah.
It's happening, and I'm thrilled.
Me too.
I'm absolutely thrilled.
Me too. I will be very glad to have you guys back. And
finally, we can once again do the show from a couple miles apart instead of like a thousand.
Right. Yes. Exactly. So getting the band back together, that'll be good.
Yes.
And I'll be glad to have young Dylan around as he's turning into a real person where he can talk and stuff.
And he knows of your
existence. That's right. On the other day on the phone, he said my name to me on the phone. That was very sweet.
There was no coaching beforehand. I don't believe in that sort of thing.
That was great. It'll be nice to have Lisa. I like her too. And the dog, Austin.
Yep.
Love the dog. Austin. That'll be
He's
good.
A good dog.
He is a good dog. He is a good boy.
So it's big news for our fifth anniversary. We wanted to give you that big fun announcement that it'll once again be a Portland show. You know what that means, though? It means we won't be able to use our awesome opening theme song about you moving to San Diego.
You're right.
That'll become outdated.
Guess
That's
what?
That's a shame. Huh?
Maybe our fans can come through. And I have a friend who is a fan down here in San Diego who is very musically gifted, and he has said he is excited to even work with us if he wants on on nice. multiple songs
nice.
if we want.
I really have to say the sitcom of my life where my best friend got a spinoff and went and did his own thing for a while, mm-hmm. for a year, that didn't pan out, so now they come back. I feel like my show has kind of jumped the shark. I feel like it's getting desperate.
But
like, oh, we got to bring the Bears back. Ratings are slipping.
Yeah, that's true. Because if this is my sitcom, it's sad for me too, where it's like, well, yeah, we tested this out and it just didn't
right.
it didn't work.
Yeah,
we need the whole group.
That was an embarrassing mistake if the show was about you guys. But fortunately, the show is about me.
Oh, okay.
My sitcom of my life. So,
maybe
glad to have you back.
Maybe it's kind of, you know what though? Maybe it's not like a sitcom, and maybe it's more like the Marvel Universe, and we didn't realize it.
Mm.
And that's why Superfan Mike is coming back to Portland.
Oh, and that's why
it's like that.
That's why we're always destroying cities with our flying airships.
Yes, because that's otherwise, why
thing.
Would we have been doing that?
Right. Now that you say it makes sense.
For all of you listening and going, hey, what about movies? Great question.
We'll get to it.
But one of the ways that you can always check on this is at oneofus.net or on iTunes or on MovieBS. We put the show notes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
And you people who are jonesing for something fast and or furious right now, you could have just looked at that and been like, oh, I've got to skip to 42 minutes before they talk about movies. By the way, I don't know exactly when we're going to get around to movies. I'm just using that as an example.
For sure, as an example, yeah. And thank you for explaining how podcasts work.
And by the way, once again, recording the show on a Wednesday, mm-hmm. April 1st.
What? In conjunction also with our fifth anniversary and your triumphant return to Portland coming up, we're also launching a new thing today. This is the MovieBS Perpetual Lunch Fund. In the old days, sometimes we would ask you guys, hey, would you like to buy us lunch? Well, because in the old days when we did the show at the studio, we would go to lunch after the show, often to Taco Del Mar.
Yes, that's right.
And there was that sandwich place, too, that we would go sometimes.
And there were some food carts.
And so that was kind of our gimmick for asking for money for the show, because we don't get paid for this, obviously, because who would pay for this?
Right.
And so we're like, hey, just buy us lunch. And then we stopped doing that for a year, and now we're doing it again. And so we have the PLF, the Perpetual Lunch Fund. It's a GoFundMe thing, gofundme.com/moviebs. We'll have links everywhere. Don't worry. You can go
everywhere.
There.
You'll, my goodness.
It'll become embarrassing.
Knee deep in mm-hmm. links.
And so you got to do if you want to buy us lunch or whatever, go and throw a few dollars in the kitty, and we'll use that, put it to good purpose. And whatever we don't spend on lunch, of course, we have film festival travels, and there's plenty of things to spend money on.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also set it up to do a subscription thing, like once a month. It'll take $5 out of your account or whatever, or you can do a one time thing.
Or $2 or $1 or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. Or $1,000.
You give us $1 a month, and we can eventually have half a lunch each year.
Yeah. I mean, that adds up to $12 a year. And if all of our listeners did that, we would have well over $100.
Oh, I could finally retire.
Yeah. So that is set up now, the Perpetual Lunch Fund. And please feel free to contribute to that if you would like to. And we thank you in advance for your generosity. And we thank you for listening to the show for 5 years.
If you have, which I – come on.
I want to know. Does anyone think that they have listened to every single episode? If you have, let us know. I would be curious to hear that. If you really think that you have heard every episode.
There's an additional. That's question 1A. Mm. And then B would be – did you actually start listening from the beginning? Did anybody start with us 5 years ago that is actually still with us?
Yeah, yeah. As opposed to starting later and then going back and hearing the back episodes.
Which is probably the nicest compliment Because that's for somebody to start listening to us, and it's like, great, we're talking about the movies that are in the theater now.
Sure.
But for them to go back and listen, that's I don't understand them, but it's nice.
It is nice. That is nice. Yeah. All right, now we can talk about movies. Well, Furious 7.
Let's just talk about a movie.
Movie is a strong word. Let's talk about this film series of images.
Okay, well, do you not want to talk about bikinis? Because then that eliminates about a third of the discussion for Furious 7. Then we can move on. It is so funny. Because there's – I don't think – maybe you tell me. Did we see scantily clad men parading around the same way that we saw bikini women parading around for no reason except for teenage boys? You're going to like looking at this. It almost like programming, right?
No, but I feel like throughout the series there have always been plenty of women in this series. But yeah, not so much with the men. Not the scantily clad men, no.
Right. No, it was just – to me it was just that thing of like funny because it was like, oh, we've changed locations. You know what that means? There's women in bikinis here too.
There must have been women in bikinis when they were in Rio that one time. I feel like that has been a consistent thing. Because whenever they show the street racing, there's always lots of race skanks, I believe they're called, who hang around these races and wear bikinis and cheer in their groupies and they drop flag to start the race or whatever. There's a ton of them.
There was one specifically when Michelle Rodriguez has to do a little dragging. Sorry, Letty has to do a little drag racing, and the flag girl.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Even I noticed her.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I don't know if you guys know this, but Dom tells you very early on, or no? Actually, I think it's Deckard Shaw that tells you. That's Jason Statham.
If you're going to be using their character names, then we're going to have to agree to disagree because I'm using the actors. Okay. Let's not make this more confusing than it has to be.
It's not. Everybody knows Dom. Come on. Stop it. Dom and Letty. all right. But you can't outrun the past.
No, that's true.
So that's something that I want you guys to keep in mind, not only for this segment, but probably for life.
You can't outrun the past. It's true. You can't.
You can try, though. Maybe. I'd give it your best bet if I were you at home.
Maybe you'll be the one who can outrun it.
Yeah. Don't give up. Don't be a quitter. Keep trying to outrun your past.
Now, the problem with not being able to outrun the past is that this assumes that we remember the past. And I appreciate that Michelle Rodriguez's character has amnesia. That was in the last movie because she died at one point, but then she was not dead after all, but she had amnesia. Because, as you know, this is a big, giant soap opera.
That's right.
I'm glad she still has amnesia because then when Vin Diesel is like, "You don't remember any of this?" And she's like, "No." And I'm like, "Yeah, you and me both, sister. Like, I will take your word for it that these other." And then now we got Jason Statham's mad at him because they put his brother into a coma. And that happened in one of the movies. And then it turned out
I think it was just in 6.
But then
I could be wrong.
And then
I don't
at some
know.
Point, it was because Jason Statham showed up at the end of that and people were excited to see Jason Statham.
They oohed and aahed.
Yeah. But then also, Part 3 Tokyo Drift, it turns out, happened after 6. Yeah, it happened after six, I guess.
After 6. Yep.
It's all very complicated. The point is,
Jason
Statham is mad at them.
He's so mad.
He is super, super angry, and he's going to kill them all. And so
you would think – now, wait. Hmm. Let's just pause.
Hmm.
You would think that would be enough of a plot because here's what we're here to see.
Mm-hmm. Bikinis.
Cars, bikinis, and actors that we love for almost unknown reasons that don't necessarily have to do with their ability to act, but more about like how they're
people
a big persona on the screen.
It's people we like.
It's totally people we like.
And Michelle Rodriguez.
and Ludacris. Although I like Ludacris in this role.
I like Ludacris.
I like him a lot more than I like Tyrese.
Yeah.
Tyrese wears on me because somebody thought at some point that's the guy who should be the comic relief, and they were wrong.
No, that should be Vin Diesel, obviously.
Obviously.
One of the gifted comedians of our time, Vin Diesel.
Yep. You've seen The Pacifier. You know what you're talking about.
So, that you would think that's enough, but no, also what's going on. So this is a bad guy.
Jason Statham. And the bad guy, keep in mind, the only thing Jason Statham wants to do is hunt down all of our family,
yeah,
mi familia, mm-hmm, and kill them one by one. That's all he wants to do.
Because they notice they didn't kill his brother. His brother's just in a coma. So yep, I have to say that his reaction is disproportionate. But that's how it is with crazy people. That's the thing.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And so he wants to kill them all. So first he got to find out who they all are. So he has to go to the Rock's office. Because the Rock is with the Diplomatic Security Service.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
still on the inside, mm-hmm, even though he's willing to help the outside.
Well, except that I think our heroes, mi familia, I feel like they used to be car thieves. But
oh, wait, they're all exonerated because of what they did in six, I think.
And now they're good guys. They're good guys now. They used to be bad guys.
Yeah.
But now they're good guys. And so, yes, The Rock will help them. So Jason Statham finds out who they all are, and he puts The Rock in the hospital, which is not easy to do.
No, it's not.
That took some work. Also not easy to do.
What?
Not easy to film their fight scene in such a way as to hide the fact that The Rock is 7 or 8 inches taller than Jason Statham. I was looking. They did a good job disguising that. Like, you wouldn't really notice.
You're right.
In general, they do a good job of not making The Rock look quite as huge as he is in real life.
But here's the thing. Hmm. They put Hobbs, also known as Dwayne Johnson, known as The Rock, they put him in the hospital, and then suddenly you're like, oh, he's not going to be in much of this? Oh, that's too bad.
We were promised The Rock. And then the other people are like, well, how's that supposed to make us feel? We were in these movies from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're all excited about Dwayne Johnson come lately.
For all of you desperate for a lot of Jordana Brewster, guess what? No, because she's got to go take care of the kid in like some undisclosed location.
Sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Brewster. Your daughter's not in the film very much.
So anyway,
here's the additional
layer to this film. Kurt Russell's in it.
Yeah.
And he's like, this guy who continuously is tracking you down and trying to kill you. We have this piece of technology that you could go find from this hacker.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way you could be on the offensive instead of the defensive.
We'll help you track down Jason Statham.
But yeah, here's the thing. You have to do this mission.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, it's impossible.
An impossible mission.
Yeah, it's totally an impossible mission. But the team's like, yeah, that'll be great because otherwise we are just going to wait for this guy to show up and then we could attack him once he shows up. But you're right. We should do this impossible thing.
To be fair.
Oh, really? Are you being serious? Because this is like the most idiotic.
I know. And I agree with you. Ever. I agree with you. But at the start, he had not yet established a pattern of showing up and trying to kill them yet. When they agreed to go on this mission in exchange for help finding the guy, at that point, they still did need help finding him. But yes, by the end, when he's like, okay, you did that impossible mission. Here, we'll help you find the guy. I was like, you mean the guy who keeps showing up every 5 minutes to kill them? Like, just sit still. He'll show up. We don't need your fancy toys to find Jason Statham.
And we don't – we don't need to do all of these elaborate things. We can just stay in L.A. Mm-hmm. where we know the streets and he'll come to us.
He will come to us,
In fact, that's the end of this movie.
In fact, he told them he was going to come for them. Here's what he did. He went to L.A. He put Dwayne Johnson in the hospital. Then he went to Tokyo to do what was the tag at the end of Furious 6. And then he was going to come back to L.A., I guess, to kill the others. So I don't know if he has to go in a certain order, like Final Destination. He has to kill them in a certain order, I guess. Seems to be much more efficient to have just done all the killing in L.A. while he was in town.
So that's messy. The Michelle Rodriguez, this is another messy part. Michelle Rodriguez has amnesia.
Yeah.
And from time to time, she looks like she's really backed up. Like really, really backed up. And what that means is she has a couple flashes of memory.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dom says, that's Vin Diesel, he says, "What's wrong?" And then she's like, "Oh, nothing." Oh. And she keeps doing that as opposed to saying, "Oh, well, I think I'm actually maybe starting to get a little bit of flashes, but they're hazy and I don't quite understand them. But maybe, you know, it's slowly coming back to me." No, she doesn't do that. She never does that.
She's embarrassed about her memory constipation.
Which is just so weird.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't make sense.
This has been consistent the last few films. This whole series has been up and down. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's stupid. But consistent for the last few entries is I enjoy the parts when they're in cars and they're doing stuff, and that's fun. Anything else where they're talking about stuff like somebody's amnesia or about how Paul Walker's wife is pregnant again or whatever else, couldn't care less. I could not care less about these characters and their dumb lives.
You were saying up and down and blah, blah, blah. It is now clear to me that this franchise for me is just going to be fun, stupid at the same time. I mean, not at the exact same time, but overall, the movie is just going to be fun, stupid.
Yeah.
The plot is going to be stupid. You're never going to get any kind of mission that makes somewhat sense but is somewhat insane like we get in Mission Impossible and films like that or The Bourne or anything else like that. There's not going to be any sort of good connection. There's going to be things that they do that probably have – I would say a probability rate of 5%.
Oh, they do things that are just flat out impossible.
Yes. And there's plenty of things that are, but like in the start, when they're like, okay, if we need to find this device, this is the plan.
Right.
It's just so stupid that that would be the plan for a device they don't technically need for a guy who's chasing them. But anyway, so there's all that. Here's what's weird. And this is what this movie needed. And it's awkward to talk about. The reason this movie jumps up a level for me, besides the wonderful, insane action that it offers, is the death of Paul Walker and observing this and how they chose to do this on screen. I found this uncomfortably satisfying and voyeuristic and very emotionally effective, and it surprised me greatly.
I appreciate that. I get that. People who are invested in these characters in this series will definitely be satisfied with what they do for – obviously for it being Paul Walker's last part in the series. For me, it had no effect because, as I mentioned, I don't care about these people. But I get how that would be effective for people who cared about this character.
So I had no concept of – I had zero concept of how much he would be in this film going in. I didn't know if it was like, oh, this happened – toward the end, toward the beginning, whatever the case may be. Oh, we CGI'd tons of it or none of it or whatever. I had no idea the level of his involvement with this movie.
Yeah.
So there's definitely moments where I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, is this where they're going to say goodbye?
Right. Yeah, I kind of waited to see how they would do that. Yeah.
That was really weird. And thankfully – what I thought should be done was ultimately what they did, even though it didn't, even though there's some movie logic that was really weird at the time.
Yeah.
There was a really nice emotional, moment that, that honored what the film thinks it's about, which is, your makeshift family.
Yeah.
And how that's very important. And, stupid, stupid script. Just idiotic.
Yeah, and it definitely comes through that the people who are in these movies all consider themselves a family. They all love Paul Walker very much, and it sort of is a blending of truth and fiction because it's our outside knowledge of the fact that Paul Walker is dead that informs that emotional reaction to what they do in the film.
Completely.
If you didn't know anything about that, you'd be like, why are they getting all like sentimental here?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like if you don't know,
right.
Then it doesn't work.
Yeah. And Paul
there was also, there's another specific moment that I thought was weird and I'm curious if you did. They are at a funeral.
Paul Walker's Diesel. Funeral. That was the weird part. They're at the actor Paul Walker's funeral.
No,
they're like,
no.
Wait, how does that? No, they're not.
This is probably about a third into the movie, maybe even sooner.
Yeah.
They're at a funeral. Vin Diesel notices something, hops in his car, and drives away.
Yes.
This whole sequence for a long time felt like when in Empire Strikes Back, Luke during his training has to go down and it's that dreamlike and he's like fighting the dream Darth Vader.
Yeah.
This whole thing to me was like, wait a minute. Like, so is this actually happening? Because nobody else noticed this. Nobody else drove after Vin Diesel. Nobody called Vin Diesel to see, like, hey, What did you just do? You literally ran away from a funeral.
Right.
And then it was even like, hang on, why aren't you guys that, like, why are you guys fighting right now, but fighting in this way? It was like, it was a very weird staged moment that it was just really poorly executed to the point where I was like, maybe it's all a dream for a while. Did you feel this vibe at all? Or was it just like, this goes along with them just being lazy and weird and not caring?
That's that second thing. Yeah. Okay. Like, well, it's been a few minutes since we had a fight, so let's throw it in there. That same funeral scene though, where they're like, yeah, no more funerals, no more funerals for us. They kept talking about no more funerals, which also makes me feel uncomfortable.
It was very uncomfortable considering Paul Walker was right there and they were looking at him when they were saying no more funerals.
There's no more funerals. And then Paul Walker's character says, well, one more. His.
Yes.
Referring to Jason Statham. And right, but then, still. No, here's what I thought. I thought, okay, I get that you want to kill him before he kills you. You wouldn't really go to his funeral, though. I mean, that would be a very classless move, to kill a guy and then go to his funeral.
Yeah.
You're not going to go to his funeral. Come on.
Great point. Great point, Eric.
Paul Walker, by all accounts, a great guy, good family man. Everyone loved him. Not a good actor, and he never was. And I just feel like I want to say that again. And that is also true in this movie. He's not a good actor. He's handsome. He's a nice guy.
I can't argue. Everybody that I know that has interviewed him or like whatever is like, yeah, he's the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
It's like, great. But you're right. I never once felt
I thought the way compelled. To – when he died and they were not finished shooting the film yet, I thought a good way to finish that would have been to replace him with a robot and say that he'd been a robot the whole time, which would have explained a lot, wouldn't it have?
Yeah.
Or like an alien or something?
Yeah.
And so that's what they did. Turns out Paul Walker's character is a robot. Sorry, no. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, there. You got to say that first.
So there's a lot. Let's see, a lot of dumb action. There's a part they globetrot. They hop the globe. There's one point where Michelle Rodriguez gets to fight with somebody's got an arsenal of bodyguards who are all women.
Who's the big one?
The big one. Ronda Rousey. Is that her name? She's a mixed martial arts. Here's the thing. I saw her deliver her lines, and I thought, okay, she's not an actress, clearly. So she must be like a fighter or a singer or something. I assumed a fighter because she was fighting Michelle Rodriguez. Looked it up. Yeah, that's Ronda Rousey, whose name I've heard recently. She's one of those lady mixed martial arts badasses. Kills people for a living. And she's in the movie to fight Michelle Rodriguez.
Weird thing that I just noticed on the old IMDb.
Yeah.
Jason Statham's character is Deckard Shaw.
Right.
Luke Evans, who was in Tokyo Drift.
Mm-hmm.
Owen Shaw.
Well, yeah, that's his brother. That's the brother that he comatosed.
Hang on a second.
What?
Oh, no, never mind. There's a Lucas Black.
Lucas Black, yes, not Luke Evans.
Oh, good. Can you imagine for our fifth anniversary if I didn't have one of my classic moments?
That would have been sad if the whole anniversary had gone by without you.
Oh, thank goodness.
Doing that.
Whew.
Yes.
Close call, everybody. Yes. Close call.
And good job, Luke Evans, getting a paycheck for literally like one scene of lying in a hospital bed.
Yeah.
Good for you. Work it.
Was it definitely him?
Yeah. I mean, he's in the credits. I mean, so he...
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So the movie, I mean, no, it's not a good movie, but the action is fun. And when they do the action, it's fun. And when they do other things, I'm not interested. But it's fine. What are you giving it?
I agree with everything, and I appreciated the Paul Walker connection more. But, like, again, it's really weird to be like, well, good thing that they had that whole thing where Paul Walker died in real life because that elevated the movie for me.
Good thing real life enabled them to add some gravity
to
a franchise that mostly defies gravity.
Ooh, good job.
Like, aggressively, belligerently.
Yeah. So because of that, it's a 7 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, I think it's like C+. It's a C+.
Okay.
As a movie. As a Fast and Furious movie, it's like an A+. As a movie, it's like a C+.
I liked 6 more.
I don't remember.
And I think that was my previous high was Furious 6.
Yeah. I do like the way this one is directed. The action scenes are directed. It's not all jittery, and it's not too confusing. You can see what's going on. I like the thing he does. It's James Wan, who directed the first Saw.
They do a similar thing as Kingsman did, which is when a body is flipping over.
That's
flipping
what I was
the
about
camera
to say.
Over.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Yes. I'm sorry, Eric. No, you say it. You go ahead. I'm sure you were going to say it so much better.
Super cut of you interrupting me to say what I was about to say. That's what we need, a super cut of that. Yes, I like the way this director, James Wan is his name. Mm-hmm. It's his first non-horror movie. He made Saw and Insidious and The Conjuring and now Furious 7.
That doesn't make him a whore.
Horror.
Oh.
No, what makes him a whore is when he has sex for money. Yes. That's what made him a whore. So that's Furious 7. More faster, more furious.
Hey, and that reminds me.
What does it remind you of?
Question of the week.
Oh, yeah, hey. For question of the week, we asked you guys about Furious 7, kind of. We said, what other movie that there's only one of should there could be expanded into 7 of them, like they've done with this whole Fast and the Furious business?
That's right. Because here's the thing. After you saw
The Fast and the Furious.
Is that the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
After you saw that, you didn't think to yourself, I bet this becomes one of the most dependable franchises that Hollywood has to offer.
Right. Yeah, that caught us all off guard when that turned out to be the case.
Yeah. And I bet each movie, not each movie, because third was bad, but like, when did they start outgrossing the first one? Do you know?
Not off the top
was
of
it like,
head.
Did it take the fourth?
Probably
take
four.
Mark. Yeah. Anyway. So then we asked, yeah, what is it? And I, you know what? Totally agree with Dustin. And I'm curious if we watched this movie together or if you still haven't seen it, or of course you've seen it, but we did not watch it together. Dustin says, I feel like a lot of these responses here, they set out to do what they wanted to do with the movie.
Right.
But Wallace Shawn and Alan Gregory are both still alive, and I'd love to catch up with them every few years in sequels to My Dinner with Andre.
I still have not seen that movie.
Ah.
That is true.
Well, wait for my return, my friend.
Okay. Done and done.
We will watch My Dinner with Andre, which
I
haven't seen.
I will continue not watching it.
I haven't seen it in probably 17 years.
Nice.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, so Dustin says that, and some of the others that he's referring to, that other answers people gave that he didn't think would last as franchises. Adam says Serenity. Serenity, sure, that whole Firefly universe, that could have been a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Master and Commander was a movie that didn't do well.
It was supposed to be a thing.
Yeah, it's because there's like a million books, apparently.
Yep, Russell Crowe and who was his sidekick that played the violin, I believe, in that movie?
I don't remember. Was it a cartoon dog?
I think so.
If not, I'm thinking of something else.
Okay. Anyway.
People were disappointed that did not turn into a thing because apparently the books are a lot of fun.
And I think the main reason it didn't turn into a thing is because I remember very specifically sitting in that theater, sitting in the middle or maybe a little bit more toward the front, mm-hmm. And getting seasick and not being able to tell 90% of the guys apart. I don't know. I know this one's not Russell Crowe, and I know that one's not Russell Crowe, and I know that one's not Russell Crowe, but I don't understand who they are beyond that.
To answer a previous question, it was, yes, the fourth Fast and Furious film, just called Fast and Furious, was the first one that outgrossed the first.
Nice. And now they've all just kept getting bigger and bigger.
Yes.
Adrian has a great answer, of course. The Cabin in the Woods would be a blast as a franchise.
See, I don't think that is a good answer, and here's why. I'll tell you why right now.
All right.
Because the novelty would wear off. Like, it worked great as a parody and a sort of a spoof and self-aware and of the whole horror thing. And I get the temptation here because they introduce in the basement, they introduce all these different kinds of monsters that can happen. But once you've lost that edge of sort of deconstructing horror films, then it's just going to be repeating the joke, and the reveal, or it's just going to become different horror films all in those different kind of things.
All right. I think you both have points.
Unbreakable. Dallas, formerly Butternubs. Yes, we have another Dallas, and this threw me off. Dallas Butternubs is using his real name now, but there's another Dallas who has a different name. Anyway, Dallas, formerly Butternubs, would like to see the world of Unbreakable.
You know this, right? You know,
yeah, it was like, supposed to be, yeah, a superhero
that was supposed
origin
to be,
story.
A trilogy, but it only made like $98 million mm-hmm. At the box office.
Right. And then M. Night Shyamalan died shortly after that and hasn't made any movies since then.
Yeah. Somebody assumed his name, though, from what I've heard.
That's weird, yeah. It was weird that Uwe Boll assumed his identity and started making movies.
Ben. Good job, Ben. Zero Effect.
I don't know what that movie is.
Really? Bill Pullman and Ben Stiller.
I'm told it is an underrated comedy slash mystery.
If you haven't seen it, put that one on the radar.
Yeah, why
that
haven't
one's
I
a very good
that?
One. And it's like a – if I believe – I think it's rated R, and it's a better mystery than Fletch. As far as somewhat similar in tone.
Written and directed by Jake Kasdan. Interesting. How have I not seen this?
Bill Pullman has narcolepsy, and that hurts him throughout his mystery solving.
I guess it would. It would. Also, if you got a main character with narcolepsy, you were inviting critics to make jokes about falling asleep during the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're asking for it.
But here's the thing. It was very well received.
That's bold, yeah. 1998 that came out. Huh. Yes, Zero Effect. All right, I'll take your word for it, and we'll watch it sometime.
What do you think about Seven?
The number or the movie?
Let's talk about the movie first.
I love Seven.
And that's what Richard says. And then Logan goes, oh, man, one movie for each sin. That would be interesting.
But again, we have the problem of what made Seven special, which was it was all of them together and the reveals and all that. Like, if we're just going to do a story about each of the seven deadly sins, I mean, I guess if they went back and expanded and did, like, the whole backstory in each of those seven victims. But still, yeah, I don't know. I just...
Not those specific victims, but, like, somebody... Others. Here's you know what it is? Here it is. You know, like, a couple of kids grew up. Maybe their very first movie... that they don't even remember because they were so young, but their very first movie was Seven. Okay. So then when they grow up, it's like a part of them.
Like
and
as toddlers, their parents took them to see Seven. We've seen younger kids at less appropriate movies.
That's right. Dylan's first movie, he was on my chest and I watched all of Seven at 5 a.m. And so then he grows up and he is like, oh, I'm going to do each of these. So he's the reenact.
Oh, so it was someone inspired by the movie Seven.
Yeah.
All right. Could see that.
And then it's a cat and mouse game after that. Who knows?
A deadly cat and mouse game.
Love that. No, not deadly. Not deadly. Just, you know, like they're just like, you know, batting each other.
It's a friendly cat and mouse game.
Yeah.
Casual. It's a pickup game. That's what it is. It's a scrimmage.
Look at you.
I know sports things.
Yeah, you do.
Jeffrey with a G says, Snowpiercer, just make the train longer. They finally get all the way to the front in the final movie, only to find that it is joined to the back of the caboose they started in. It's Euroboros, the world train. Euroboros. I can never say that word. Euroboros. Euroboros, the world train, which is a snake eating itself. Euroboros.
No, you are. Oh, wow. Buckaroo Banzai.
I haven't seen that since I was a kid, but I believe that was a character that could do more stuff, more adventures.
There was definitely the potential of more adventures there.
The Rocketeer, Nick says it's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Logan comes back with a layer cake, and layer cake was really good. But yeah, Daniel Craig's.
Peter says Fight Club. Each character seems like they have a lot more to be told about them. Plus the actual franchised fight clubs within the movie have their own stories and visits from Tyler Durden. But again, this is the same problem as before.
The reveal is gone. Yeah. But like, here's the thing.
I don't know that we would find stories about these other fight clubs interesting already knowing the way things turn out. And like, I feel like that's.
But what's going on? Is it a graphic novel that's happening? There's a sequel coming.
Oh, is there?
In the form of a graphic novel, I believe. Mm. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong.
I mean, I guess like
so,
Fight Club.
So there's we are going to see where this world can go. And if that graphic novel does well, you know it's going to be adapted.
Yeah. I guess Fight Club ends with the way that things end. If you haven't seen Fight Club, you should. with them, you know, blowing up L.A. and stuff.
Right.
But
so
I guess
where
that's
do we
true.
Go from here?
Well, but the other Fight Club franchises in the other cities are still existing. Are we to understand that they also have done some mischief at the same time?
Yes.
I think. Yes. But still, yeah, these clubs continue. So, yeah, there could still be – all right, I could see a sequel. I could see a sequel.
Well, you are going to see
I don't know
a
about
sequel
seven
if
of
you
them.
Read it.
But
I don't think I ever saw Dave suggest Brotherhood of the Wolf.
That was a kooky, like some kind of French movie. Yeah, that was good. Sets up a world where there's wolves. Scott says, get hard? No, thank you.
No. No, thanks, Scott.
Matthew says, trick or treat, because the time around Halloween could always use more horror anthology movies. That's true. And then someone else also said Twilight Zone, the movie, along the same lines. Yeah, anthology series was sort of a running theme. Certainly has potential to be good. You just got to find good stories.
Most importantly, I think I've talked about this movie maybe once on the show. I haven't thought about it for a long time. Andy says The Boy Who Could Fly.
Yeah.
He can fly? Like, what's next? Does he become a superhero? Like, what, a window cleaner? What's going on?
The boy who could do various other things.
It's totally true. I saw this movie countless times when I was a kid, and I have not seen it for at least 30 years.
Mm.
And it's weird that I can say that.
Yeah, I'm sure I saw it as a kid, but don't remember
so many times
about it. Gregory says Monty Python Holy Grail with a film for each night and or a new quest for each film. I mean, you could do more with those characters. Well, except for the ones played by Graham Chapman, who's dead. So he wouldn't be in them. But the other Pythons could do them.
Mm-hmm.
They're also old, though.
And,
but aren't we all?
Tim says my answer. Big Trouble in Little China, which is the example I gave last week.
And Michael says my answer, John Wick. John Wick, as soon as I saw it, I thought it totally lends itself to a franchise. They've set up a world here where there's stuff going on.
Yes, you and I have talked. I actually wrote an article at some point about, like, here's what a sequel could be.
Right.
But then the no-brainer as well is the Intercontinental. And just, like, that can be a prequel
hotel,
or
just
a
sequel. All the
or
business here with this world of gangsters, and they have their own gold coins they use. And
gold coins and certain rules of etiquette. Because, I mean, after all, we're all gentlemen and ladies at the core. So, best behavior, people.
So, all fine suggestions. Well, not all. Some fine suggestions and some bad ones. As usual, it's a mixed bag, as always. Just like life.
Always available at our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviebspdx. And that's, you can just find that link at MovieBS.
Hey, well, what's the question of the week for next week?
Question of the week for next week is...
going to say it because I thought you'd forgotten.
What is your favorite non-animated animal movie character? Wait, what? What is it?
Your favorite non-animated animal in a movie.
Your favorite non-animated movie in a mammal. Something like that. All right. Great.
The point being, not a cartoon, and also not just like a general kind of animal. Like, I like when there are dogs in movies. Like a specific animal.
Yeah, yes. Don't say that.
Don't overthink
and
it.
And you know what? Don't also be like, you know who's an animal? It's Kevin James.
Yeah.
He's an animal. That's my favorite. It's not funny enough.
Don't say that,
You can be better than that.
You can give funny answers, but they have to be funny.
Yeah.
And we'd rather just get the regular answers. But yeah, your favorite animal in a movie, non-animated division.
You know, it'd be really nice if somebody wrote like something like Kevin James on the Facebook page. Then they listen to the show and then they try to delete it. And they're like, oh, whoops. That'd be nice.
Try to save face. Yeah. You can post your answers on Facebook. You can also email us at moviebspdx@gmail.com. Hey, it's time for a game. You want to play a round of Pitch Me?
Okay.
I'm glad you do, because that's what we're doing. Here's the theme music right here.
Pitch me, pitch me. Now's the time we play Pitch Me. Take a couple actors and we'll put them in a movie. No. Pitch me.
So, you've got an actor in mind, I'm sure. Right?
Yes.
And I also, too, have an actor in mind right now. Okay? And we've got a I got a genre suggestion from Scott Beggs over at Film School Rejects.
Oh.
Saw him on the chat a bit earlier. I said, I can't talk, about to do the show. Hey, before you go, give us a genre for Pitch Me. And okay. I'm just looking at what he said. Who's your actor?
Or Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe. Oh, and mine is Kevin James.
Oh.
Together
Wait,
at last.
How did you think of that?
Just came to me off the top of my head.
Me too.
So Russell Crowe, Kevin James, and the genre is Christian erotica.
Whoa. What?
So.
What is that even?
Well, I mean, so it's going to be erotic. It'll be erotic, but it's going to be sort of, it'll be chaste.
It'll be playing within the church. Why don't we do that? Oh.
Hmm.
Oh, shoot. Too easy because Kevin James already played just ridiculously bad straight person attempting to be a homosexual? Oh. Or can we go the homosexual route with these two?
No, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
Also, nobody wants that. Nobody wants Russell Crowe and Kevin James in a gay romance.
Are they both bears?
They're not bears necessarily. Well, I mean,
is Kevin James a bear?
I can't think of what he looks like shirtless. And thank goodness
for
that.
Wait, do you have to be hairy to be a bear?
You have to be hairy to be a bear, yeah.
You have to be big and hairy or just hairy?
You have to be big and hairy. If you're small and hairy, you're an otter. If you're big but not hairy, I think you're a walrus. I might be making that up. I assume there's an animal for everything. No, the otter is definitely a thing.
Oh, the otter is a thing?
Yeah, if you're small and hairy, you're an otter.
Do people – are people like, hello, I'm an otter. Yay. Or is it like, oh, shoot, I've been classified an otter. That's going to stick with me for days.
Well, I suppose it's the same as everything. Maybe you embrace your type and maybe you try to change it.
So back to our movie.
Right. So it's a Christian erotica. So probably – okay, maybe one of them – how do we do religion?
Does a woman come between them?
There's got to be one coming between them. Maybe one of them is
Russell Crowe a man of cloth?
Maybe one of them is a preacher. So Russell Crowe is a preacher of some kind.
Charismatic preacher comes to town.
Kevin James is the church organist.
All right.
They get a new preacher, and they both fall in love with the same woman there at the church.
Wait, the woman comes to town.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay,
they've been there for years. The woman
newcomer.
Comes to town.
She comes to town, and she's played by somebody.
Ooh, good, good. That's good. Elizabeth Banks.
Sure, Elizabeth Banks. Oh, I love her.
Thanks.
She, and in keeping with the reality of movies, she, in real life, would not go for either of those men. So perfect. In the movie, she'll be into both of them.
Yes, yes. And she's equally charmed, and they right. And it's for them, it's the whole thing of both of them really care – first and foremost about the church,
sure.
But what they slowly realize is maybe they're caring about her too much, and maybe
she's distracting them from their church.
So work. So maybe they start to become perhaps a little sinful in their attempts to woo her.
A little worldly. Yes, she starts to distract them from.
Oh,
from
I actually kind of like this.
Yeah, and they're like
because then it's a proper view of like what faith might mean.
Yeah,
and how you can actually try to woo, and some things are okay to do, and something
right. You don't have to discard your faith to be in love, nor do you have to avoid love to be faithful. Yeah, so it's all about finding that balance there.
So wait, he's just a minister, right? Let's just like he's a Presbyterian minister.
Oh yeah, he's not like a Catholic priest where he has to be celibate.
Right.
Yeah, no, he can.
He's allowed.
Yeah, he's allowed to date.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so then,
wait. Is the so the there's no twist of there's no let's see whether the tw- no there's
some kind of how who does she wind up with, how do we decide that, what's right for the story,
what is right for the story? What's right for the story is nobody ends up with her,
because
that's right for the story
because she's a lesbian and so they stone her to death.
Oh, nice. So it's topical.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe one of them is actually tricked into thinking that he's finally talking to God or hit on the head and thinks he's actually having a communication with closer than ever.
Like Kevin James tricks Russell Crowe into thinking he's talking to God, sets up a voice in a microphone or something or whatever.
Yes, totally. Like, that's the extreme of, like, where he's going. And then he's like, hang on, is this wrong?
Yeah, that's like, that's kind of a jerk move.
It's probably wrong to imitate God. I don't know the rules exactly.
If you're actually trying to fool somebody, yeah, you probably shouldn't do that.
And then there's other things like, the worst thing that Russell Crowe does is he slips a Mickey or something to the effect into the communion wine of which is also just – that's grape juice in Presbyterian.
Yeah, sure.
So he slips something into Kevin James, and Kevin James is at the organ, just loses his mind.
Nice. I like it. That's wacky.
He's starting to rock out.
Yeah.
And it backfires on Russell Crowe because then everybody starts to get into it.
Yeah, but like, first, oh, man.
At first, Inagata De Vita might not be the right thing to play on the organ.
That sounds like rock and or roll.
Yes. Oh, that's right. It was used in The Simpsons. I'm getting into this. I'm really starting to like this.
So they're really like pranking each other, really, really fighting dirty to win the affections of Elizabeth Banks.
All right. I'm just going to say it. And again, this has nothing to do with the fact that we are recording this on a Wednesday, which is also happens to be April 1st.
Yeah.
I think you and I would actually be pretty good at writing this script. This particular script, I think we could actually do quite well.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Just saying. I'm just bringing that up, and I'm also bringing up the big announcement that I'm moving back to Portland, and it happens to be on a Wednesday.
I will not compromise on the ending, though, where they stone her to death.
Like, oh, no.
It turns totally medieval, and it's shocking. It's a shocking ending. Because it's been like this goofy comedy all along, and then you're a lesbian. Well, we have to kill you.
And the best part is it's a really pleasant PG, and nobody can figure out why this movie's rated R. Nobody,
right?
And they're just like, what is going on? This is nice. My kids should be here with me. I feel like it's a really good thing.
And then a horrifying climax.
Yeah.
Maybe even led up to – maybe even there's a joke first where that it's, we have to stone her to death. And so Kevin James's character is like, well, where are we going to find enough marijuana to get her stoned to death or whatever? Or maybe they even try to.
You know what? We're going to write this for Kevin James too. Like, we're not going to compromise on – we're
getting Kevin James. And Russell Crowe?
Yeah, we're doing it.
Okay. All right. I'm on board. We'll do it. I'll make some calls.
All right. And I think Banks would be in mainly because of the stoning. I think she'd be,
Should go for that. No, yeah. There you go. That's Pitch Me. And it's called Church Faith, Church Guys, the Church Lady.
Faith
No More.
And her name is Faith.
Faith No More. There you go. Perfect. Her name's Faith. Done and done.
Wow.
There you go.
Hard R.
That's how you play Pitch Me.
Nice job on Pitch Me, everybody.
Good work, everybody. Good hustle.
Yeah, good hustle.
Hey, Jeff, what else did you watch?
Here's the thing. Let's take a vote. How many people think that I should be allowed to talk about what TV I'm watching in this? Just a raise of hands.
No, you should not be able to.
I don't think I watched.
I
didn't watch anything.
You can name the shows you've watched, but you can't talk about them. If you want to give us a list of what TV shows you're watching, you can do that.
Homeland, which finally got good.
Nope. What did I say?
Dang it. Okay, Homeland and – nothing. I guess it's just – yeah.
What do you do all day?
Star Wars Rebels.
Oh, yeah. You've been watching that cartoon about Star Wars. Yeah.
Really enjoyable.
All right.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. And then, no, that's it. Girls, the season finale.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's what I watched. I watched Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit. It was on Amazon Prime, and I never saw it last year when it came out. I was like, okay, I'll give this 20 minutes. And then I was kind of into it, so I watched it. I can see why I didn't do very well at the box office because I wouldn't want to pay like full theater prices for it.
Yeah.
But to watch it for free on Amazon, like, okay.
The fight scene in the bathroom is fantastic. And then everything
early on,
that is boring.
They should have called it Jack Ryan, Action Accountant.
Yeah.
He's an accountant who saves the world. And then I also watched Step Brothers, which I've heard some crazy people say that they think that's actually better than Anchorman. And so I was watching it with that in mind, and I'm sorry, but no. I mean, it's fine, but it's no Anchorman. It's not even Talladega Nights. I'm just saying. Do you remember Step Brothers?
Yeah.
All right. and Tommy Boy, which turned 20 years old this week. I was maybe going to write a thing about it, then I didn't, but I watched it. And I realized I had not watched it front to back in at least 11 years.
It is a top five comedy, and I'll argue it to the death of all time.
It still makes me giggle.
And it is one of the best comedies at being timeless. There are other comedies that...
Yeah,
people try to bring up others, and it's like actually that one shows a lot of signs of age. It was more popular in its time, and the humor has changed a little bit. The humor in Tommy Boy is near timeless.
Yeah, still pretty funny. What makes it work so well, it's the same thing that makes most Will Ferrell movies work, is that Chris Farley was completely committed to everything he did.
Yep.
And that's what makes it work. Mm-hmm. So Tommy Boy, watch that in honor of its 20th anniversary if you want to. And so that's what I've watched. There you go.
Nice. So you watch movies besides the movies?
A few, yeah. Yeah, a few. I watch TV too a little bit.
Yeah.
So that is the show then. So to summarize what happened, it's our 5th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bears are moving back to Portland sometime by the end of the year.
That's right.
We have the Movie BS Perpetual Lunch Fund, the PLF.
The Movie BS PLF.
That you can contribute to if you'd like to over at GoFundMe.com/MovieBS. And Furious.
And there will be links.
So many links. And Furious 7 is one of those movies.
It's totally an eye candy movie.
Oh, it's so long. Like, if you don't care about these people's lives, then it really, I kept, like, waiting for it to, okay, come on, get on with it.
Like, yeah, it's like
two hours and
20
minutes.
2 hours, 15 minutes, something like that.
And it didn't need to be that long.
Yeah.
Question of the week, tell us your favorite movie animal, non-animated. Should we do another one later for people's favorite animated animal?
Maybe.
No, maybe. We'll talk about that off the show.
Let's keep some surprises, keep some mystery here.
So that then is the show. So for MovieBS with Bear and Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Bear.
Thank you for listening and good day.
I said good day.
Oh, and here's the first couple of minutes of our very first show from 5 years ago today. Welcome to Movie BS with Bayer and Snyder. I'm Eric D. Snyder. This is my sidekick, Jeff Bayer.
Thank you for that introduction. That was my sidekick, Eric D. Snyder, and I am Jeff Bayer. And we should start by, because you're my sidekick, you should tell everybody about the show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. This is the first edition of our show, by the way, and that music was more exciting than I thought it was going to be.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great pump-up music?
I'm kind of jazzed up now.
Yeah, yeah.
I was kind of, before I was like, we could do a show, but now I actually feel like we should do a show. I'm in it. Movie BS will be a show every week here on PDX.fm where we will talk about movies.
Come on. There's more than that.
Well, Jeff and I are both movie critics. We write for a variety of sources, mostly online.
Well, sell everybody on who you are.
Well, okay. No, I'll sell them on who you are.
Oh, wow.
Jeff Bayer is America's tallest film critic.
That's a good point.
He's like 6'30".
Yeah.
And he has a site, The Scorecard Review, and then he also is the film critic for Coin 6, one of the local, what is that, the CBS affiliate?
It's a CBS affiliate.
Here in Portland.
The show Keep It Local.
Yes, every Tuesdays and Fridays he's on there.
Because
the show's
really,
on every day at 4, right?
What's more local than wide release films
exactly.
that are around the
films,
country?
Movies that were shot elsewhere and being shown everywhere throughout the world. Very,
yes.
very local. And so Jeff is there Tuesdays and Fridays to talk about those on that show.
Yes.
What else is that all? That's what you write for.
I think that's pretty much
it. Pretty much.
All right. And you?
Yes.
Well, if anybody ever wants to know anything about you, all they have to do is go to Eric D. Snyder. film.com. But you also write for film.com, mm-hmm. which, what is that site based on?
Film.com, they do a lot of film coverage, okay. mostly.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. And then also cinematical.com.
Right.
That's you.
Yeah. So that's, yeah. So Jeff and I were all over the internet. And we noticed that on the internet, there's not very much discussion of movies. So we thought we should do a show to tell people about movies.
Right. Because how else are they going to hear about
it? You hardly ever see much about movies on the internet.
Nothing.
That was irony. We started with irony.
It's good. If I heavy breathe when I laugh into the mic, is that a good thing?
And by the way, we're broadcasting live from PDX.fm in beautiful downtown Portland.
Yes.
And we're very excited to be here, our first show here. Jeff and I have each been on this station before as guests on other people's show, mm-hmm. like Court and Fat Boy.
We should give shout-outs to them because really, if it wasn't for them...
We love Court and Fat Boy, yeah.
I probably wouldn't be here.
That's true because you were a guest.
I was a guest a couple times, maybe a month ago, yeah. 2 months ago.
Court and Fat Boy were just here. The fact the room still smells like them.
Just a bit.
So let's get into it. No sense wasting time anymore.
No.
Every week we'll talk about the new releases as well as other movie-related things. Let's start. The big new release today is Clash of the Titans.
Don't you feel like there should have been a button that we hit and then like music
there
comes
be, like,
up
a sound
from...
effect.
Yeah.
We'll only make a note. We need music for
yeah,
that
make
next
a note.
All right. Make a note. Clash of the Titans. New film today. New in the sense that it just opened, but old in the sense that it's a remake.